Hello and welcome to Armchair Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Today we're going to be talking about NFL Divisional Playoff Football. Hopefully everybody's really excited about that after last week's wildcard round was, let's just say, less than exciting for anyone who didn't have a horse in the race. And even for us that did, it still probably wasn't the best playoff football you've ever seen. So we're hoping for some better action this week. Since this is the first episode and we don't really have a staff or a co-host today, let's just... Gene is our intern, and Gene, I understand we have a caller on the line, Leo from Los Angeles. Leo, can you hear me? How are you doing today?
Yeah, I can hear you, Casey. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for calling in. Not sure how you found our number, but kudos to you. Unlisted numbers are hard to find, so
they're,
I understand.
They're all over the deep web. It's all right.
What's that?
They're all over the deep web.
Exactly. You know, anybody can find anything if they try and look hard enough, so... I understand that you're in L.A., not from L.A., originally from Seattle, and you're a Seattle sports fan. Is that accurate?
That is 100% accurate. After a stint in the Portland area for a little while, I have moved down to Los Angeles about 8 months ago.
Wow. What's the intention? Are you going to be a booming Hollywood writer, producer, actor? What's your plan down there?
Sure. Whatever. writing is mainly...
Well,
I'm down here for it, and my wife's down here to act.
Outstanding. I hope it works out for both of you. That's fantastic.
Thanks.
Well, I assume you'd like to talk some Seattle Seahawks football. They've got a pretty big matchup this weekend, traveling on the road to Atlanta. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Seattle has had some trouble on the road, not only this season, but just historically.
Right.
But I really see this as a matchup of Russell Wilson's skills in the postseason versus Matt Ryan's less than skills in the postseason, so to speak. He doesn't have a great record. I think he only has one win out of five appearances. So I'm kind of rooting for Russell Wilson to bring home another postseason win.
Well, and Russell Wilson, I believe, has, if not the highest, one of the highest winning percentages, and not just the postseason, but overall in his, you know, five-year career. I think Tom Brady might have a better one, but I don't believe that's accurate. To your point, Seattle was only 3-4-1 on the road this year, and Atlanta's 5-3, so, you know, neither team really a juggernaut at home or on the road. This is a rematch of a Week 6 match in Seattle that Seattle actually won 26-24. How confident are you with Seattle going into enemy territory in a dome? You know, there could be some noise there. There could be some angry things said. You know, they're talking about potentially playing some future music against Russell Wilson. There's some potential, really, some nasty things going on. And Russell Wilson's rookie year, he actually lost his first playoff game in Atlanta in the divisional round. So this is kind of a rematch of a rematch of a rematch. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as far as 2012 is a billion years ago when it comes to football. So I'm not concerned about that. The win earlier this year should really be indicative of the skill of the Seahawks, because they were not exactly doing well at the time, and they still managed to pull off a win. Granted, it was a home, which they tend to have a much higher winning percentage at home. But Atlanta was still, with as weak as the Seahawks were early this season, Atlanta should have done a better job against them.
True.
In that game. They should have pulled off a win. The fact that they didn't means that the Seahawks, that are now much stronger than they were at the time, with the notable exception of Earl Thomas, I think that it'll be a tough matchup for Atlanta to beat at this point.
Well, the other thing to consider is the running game. I mean, Thomas Rawls looked phenomenal last week. Granted, it was Detroit, who's not one of the top-tier run defenses in the league. But Rawls looked great. He looked as healthy as he's been all season. To your point, they were missing some players in that week six matchup, and one of those guys was Thomas Rawls. How important to their victory is he going to be? You think they can really pound the rock and get Atlanta off kilter and maybe control some of the clock?
I think they'll have a better chance than they had in week six, for sure. I think week six was right around the time when they were only controlling the ball 20 minutes a game,
right,
but still managing to win, which, I mean, is a testament to the Seahawks defense. But the fact that they were still able to get 26 points against Atlanta means that Atlanta's got some issues to work through. As far as the Seahawks offense, I think Rawls is probably he's definitely going to be an impact. This last game, we saw not only did Rawls take off, but we also had the receiving core just have a phenomenal game.
Right.
We had ridiculous catches by Richardson. We had the off the butt catch by Baldwin. We had
right.
all kinds of crazy stuff happening.
Well, and, you know, the funny thing is that even if you decide to nullify the Richardson catch in the end zone, which a lot of people that are not, I'm going to count them as not Seattle fans that are saying this, they want to nullify that one. It's still a major victory. I mean, you can take that touchdown away. I wouldn't call that a game changer or a momentum shifter. I mean, Seattle won that game handily. It wasn't necessarily a blowout in terms of how the whole game went, but they handled the Lions and then some. And I feel confident that they can go into Atlanta, which I think will actually help them, because Atlanta isn't a terror at home, and Seattle isn't a terror on the road. But, you know, Atlanta, for having the number one offense and the number one scoring offense, and they're the number two offense in terms of yards per game, I think Seattle's got a really good chance here. I mean, in terms of defense, Seattle was the number three scoring defense after, I think, 4 years in a row being number one. But they're only giving up the fifth most yards. I think they've got a really good shot here. They're only giving up the eighth most in passing yards, whereas Atlanta is, you know, again, the number two in terms of total offense and third in total passing offense. But their rushing attack, are you worried about that, about Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman tearing through the Seattle front seven, or do you think they can handle them?
I think they'll be able to handle them. Devonta Freeman is going to be a difficult thing. I think Julio Jones, honestly, because of his Matt Ryan's arm, he can bomb it when he needs to. He has more 40-plus yard plays than I think any other quarterback in the league right now.
And they're two different just receivers, so you can't just hone in on Julio or Mohamed Sanu or anybody like that. You got to cover the whole field.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he's gonna make Richard Sherman run a lot. Even when he's not targeted, he's one of those guys who just runs like he's being targeted, even if he knows 100% that there's no chance he's getting the ball.
Right.
So, that's the other thing. Their offense doesn't really give a whole lot away, which will test the defense for the Seahawks. But I don't think it'll be. I don't think it'll be a blowout, one way or the other. I think it'll be a very close game, but I think Seattle can pull it off.
So in terms of the other NFC opponents, are you happy you got Atlanta? Would you prefer to be playing Dallas or Green Bay? What's your confidence level going into Saturday?
I think of the options, I think Atlanta probably is the better match for Seattle, at least for a home game.
Right.
Or, excuse me, an away game for Seattle, a home game for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Lambeau Field would not be a good day for anyone.
Right.
Except for the Cowboys earlier this year, but they had a tough time even getting that.
Well, so I guess here's the question. If you could travel to Dallas, travel to Atlanta, or host Green Bay, which of those matchups do you prefer?
Well, that's a good question. 2014, we did host Green Bay, and that game was, I believe, if you're a Green Bay fan, it was a very hard game to watch.
I'm a lifelong Green Bay fan, and that was the game itself was not hard to watch, but I wasn't a fan of the ending.
That's a good point. The Seahawks had a track record that season of doing a lot less in the first three quarters than they would in the last quarter, and that game was no exception. So as far as history is concerned, I kind of would like to see Seattle have a really great game against Green Bay at home. That would be fantastic for me.
Well, if you guys take care of business against Atlanta this weekend and Green Bay is able to somehow knock off mighty, mighty Dallas, that would be exactly what would happen. You'd get your dream rematch in Seattle. Maybe
also,
even some bad weather.
The alternative would be playing in Dallas, which, again, we're back to Seahawks are not the greatest of road teams.
Right.
So being a Seahawks fan, I'd want to give them as many advantages as possible.
Right. Well, and especially with, you know, you have that young offensive line that looked like they kind of gelled a little bit at the end of the season, especially last week, and a defensive line that's just been hit with injuries and hit hard. I mean, I don't know that anybody's playing at full strength these days, but, you know, Michael Bennett just hasn't looked like himself ever since he went down with injury a few weeks ago. and luckily Cliff Avril looks better than ever. So I think you guys would give him a really good shot. You know, my prediction is Seattle wins this game. I think it's going to be really tight. I don't think Seattle's going to run out to an early lead. I think Atlanta definitely has the firepower on offense to make this a game. But I think Seattle's defense will clamp down and show their pride before the end of the game, and they'll win this one probably by a field goal.
That's probably a sound prediction. Basically, it's a really great offense versus a really great defense when it comes to Atlanta's offense, Seattle's defense.
Right.
And it's a pretty good offense against an okay defense on the other side.
And an okay defense that's down their best cover corner. So that should open up some things for Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, Jimmy Graham. I mean, this has the potential to be a high-scoring shootout. But if you guys can get out to an early lead and then run the ball with Rawls and Alex Collins, I think you got a really good shot at winning this one and closing it out.
I also heard a rumor. I don't know if this is true, but maybe that ProSize might actually be back in the mix.
That's the rumor, is that he's back with the team this week and he's supposed to practice, but I guess we'll see how much he practices and then in turn how much playing time Pete Carroll actually gives him. I know there was much discussion about ProSize being the lead back after that amazing game he had in New England, but then the following week gets hurt and is lost for the rest of the year with a shoulder injury. You know, I don't know that I'd want him getting a ton of action this week, but if he can return some kicks, that'd be great, because as good as Devin Hester was once upon a time, he's just not a plug-and-play replacement for Tyler Lockett. So if ProSize can come in and return some kicks, be a good third down back and a change of pace back for Thomas Rawls and give him a breather, I think that would go a long way for Seattle's offense.
And that's mainly what I'm hoping for with ProSize. I think if they're able to pull it off against Atlanta, then ProSize might be a bigger factor against the winner of the Green Bay-Dallas game.
Right. So let's move on to the Dallas-Green Bay game. I know that's not necessarily big news in the Northwest, but it could be. Because the winner of that game would play Seattle if Seattle can get past Atlanta. So I guess before we get into the meat of it, just gut reaction, which of those two teams would you prefer to play if it was on a neutral field?
If you asked me that 6 weeks ago, I would have said Dallas hands down. But Aaron Rodgers has been on fire the last month and a half plus.
Right.
So based on where their trajectories have taken them, honestly, I kind of want to give the edge to Green Bay.
So you would prefer to play Green Bay, or you prefer to not face Green Bay?
Oh, so I would prefer to play Green Bay, mainly because Seattle would be playing at home.
Right.
But honestly, between the two, I would prefer to play Dallas at the level that they're playing at right now. If it was just pretending that the fields don't exist and there's no home field advantage.
Right.
I prefer to play Dallas because while they're doing as well as they have been most of the season, eventually, I'm still holding out hope that eventually Ezekiel Elliott might actually run out of steam.
It's possible. But, doesn't look likely, but it's possible.
It doesn't look likely, but I have a feeling that his legs will run out before Aaron Rodgers' arm runs out.
It very well could be the case, and you know Seattle's got the run defense to actually slow that guy down probably better than anybody. The problem is that Dallas is a amazing 7-1 at home. Their only loss was week one against New York, and it wasn't even a big loss. It was Dak Prescott's first official game as an NFL quarterback, Ezekiel Elliott's first game as an NFL running back. They hadn't really had time to get the offense gelling, whereas now, I mean, they're one of the hottest teams in football. They don't look unbeatable. There's no real unbeatable juggernaut this year, but they've probably got more strengths than weaknesses, which is more than I can say for most teams out there. So I guess the question is, if Green Bay can start out strong and keep Dallas's offense off the field or at least scoring quickly or trying to keep up in a shootout, what chance do you give Green Bay to win this game? I mean, they're going on the road where they were 4-4. You know, they even during that 7-game winning streak, they didn't look red hot on the road. So I guess my question is, if Aaron Rodgers can start out strong and make Dak Prescott beat him in a shootout, what chance do you give Green Bay to win the game?
When it comes down to it, I think Dak Prescott's arm is not a match for Aaron Rodgers' arm. If you just in a straight-up matchup, I don't think that they're Dak is going to be a great passing quarterback in a couple years. Right now, the reason he's his team has done as well as it has. I mean, don't get me wrong, he can pass.
Right.
But it's really been on the back of their running game that they've been able to be as successful as they have. So that's really what it's going to come down to, an Aaron Rodgers' arm versus Ezekiel Elliott's legs. And in that respect, we have to address the Jordy Nelson situation, because he had to leave the game with a rib injury, and he's questionable to come back. So if he comes back, is he coming back at full strength, or is he coming back limping from having broken ribs? And is it better for him to be back and not be at full strength, or can you rely on Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams? What are your thoughts on that as a Green Bay fan?
I think Nelson's a huge loss if he can't play. I'd be really, really surprised if he can. I mean, he had the rib injury that knocked him out last week. They're saying that he's rehabbing this week and that he's going to try to practice, and his arrow's pointing up. But as far as how much they're going to actually use him on Sunday, I'm not sure he's going to be much more than a decoy. I think they'll try to shift the offensive attention over to Devontae Adams, to Randall Cobb, to Geronimo Allison. Definitely try to get Ty Montgomery involved, get Christian Michael involved, really rotate where the passes are going, where the runs are going, where the looks are going. Try to confuse that Dallas defense, because Dallas is outstanding against the run. They're not amazing against the pass. The good news is that neither team is good against the pass on defense. So if this has a shootout, it's going to be a big one. It's not going to be like last week where it's kind of questionable. You know, if New York catches some passes, do they win? I think if they catch the first couple they dropped in the end zone in the first quarter, they probably win that game. But towards the end, they just couldn't compete with Green Bay's offense. Dallas is great against the run, but I don't expect Green Bay to try to run a lot. They don't have an offensive line or a running back that can really do that really well. So they're probably going to come out slinging. They're going to set Aaron Rodgers up with some quick tempo passes, get him in a rhythm, and hopefully just come out slinging and put a couple of touchdowns on the board early and make Dallas have to throw to keep up. Because if Dallas jumps out to a lead and they can ride Ezekiel Elliott, I don't think Green Bay has any chance of shutting them down. They may have the number 8 run defense in terms of stats per game, but in terms of what the eye test shows you, I don't think this is the number 8 defense in terms of stopping the run. I think they've gotten some lucky breaks that teams have tried to throw on them more than they have run against them. And Dallas is going to try to show strength against strength, and that offensive line can push anybody around that it wants. Ezekiel Elliott is a big body. Dak's a big body. If they even try to run an option against them, Green Bay might be dead in the water in the first quarter. But if McCarthy calls this game the way he should and gets Rodgers going early, and they make up for the lack of Nelson being able to play, and they can get some good running yardage out of Montgomery and Michael in the third and fourth quarter, I think they've got a shot at taking this team down.
It's going to be a tough battle, no matter what. I think one team has to get an early lead, like you were saying. Whichever team gets an early lead has a much, much better shot. Simply because, well, honestly, if Green Bay gets an early lead, they're in a better position than if Dallas gets an early lead.
Right.
Because they can recover. Green Bay can recover from a Dallas early lead much more easily, thanks again to Aaron Rodgers' arm. I think it's also going to come down to, can Aaron Rodgers continue his no interception streak? Can they prevent errors as much as possible? Because with this close of a matchup when it comes to certain aspects of the game, turnovers can make the difference.
Right.
And preventing errors and turnovers is going to be the main defense that Green Bay has against Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, and he had Aaron Rodgers had 2, maybe 3 turnovers last time they met. And mm-hmm. Even being in Lambeau didn't seem to help. And, you know, it wasn't even a close game. It was 30-16. So I would say that Green Bay's got a much better shot this time. They're down Eddie Lacy, but they're up Ty Montgomery. They're down Jordy Nelson, but they're up Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb. Aaron Rodgers looks like a totally different quarterback than he did back then. I mean, there's only so much you can take away from an early season matchup and use it to your advantage in this one, because Dallas even looks like a different team. Dak Prescott doesn't look like, I mean, he hadn't thrown an interception before that game, ended up throwing his first interception of his career against Green Bay. It didn't help them win the game, but it may have shown that Green Bay might have a little idea about how to stop him. And, you know, he doesn't have any playoff experience. You know, how big is this moment going to be for him? I mean, he's had ice in his veins all season. Does that continue now that we're in the postseason? Does he fall short? You know, Tom Brady is who, and Russell Wilson are who a lot of people are comparing Prescott to in terms of how good they were their first years as a professional quarterback. And, you know, to his credit, he's looked every bit the part. I mean, Roethlisberger also, I mean, went 15-1 his rookie year.
Yep.
I just think if you can slow down Ezekiel Elliott, you have a shot. If Green Bay lets Elliott run wild like he did in week six, there's no chance they win this game.
So I think that because of Green Bay's trajectory, they have a good shot at doing exactly that. So that's what I'm calling for. I think it's going to be, again, a very, very close game. I think that it's probably going to be a higher scoring game than people think it's going to be.
Right.
I think it's at least three touchdowns on each side of the game.
Well, and with two offenses in the top five in terms of points per game and two defenses in terms of, you know, nearing dead last in yards allowed per game, I think you're spot on that if both of these teams struggle to run the ball is going to be in the air a lot, and there's going to be points on the board because both of these teams struggle to stop. The difference is that Green Bay does produce turnovers when they need it, and they have a great safety tandem back there between HaHa Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett, and even their corners have looked serviceable, but not great, whereas Dallas, you know, they get Maurice Claiborne back, they get some key defenders back, and they even get their star left tackle back. So it's going to be interesting. I'm hoping Green Bay can win, and I hope that it's not down to the wire, but I really wouldn't be surprised to see either team come out on top on this one. I guess my prediction from my heart is Green Bay by 7, but my fear is that Dallas is going to win by 14.
I think it's going to be Green Bay by probably less than 7. I don't think it's going to be within, like, field goal range, like probably more like 3 or 4, like 4 or 5 points.
The funny truth is that in this game, the game changers are probably going to be Dak and Ezekiel on the Dallas side. And you always have to account for Dez Bryant. He's just amazing. And so is Jason Witten. Yep. On the Green Bay side, as good as their stars are, the guys that you're going to have to watch are going to be on offense. You're going to have to look for Geronimo Allison, who's been great down the stretch, and also Randall Cobb. And then on defense, Micah Hyde and Ladarius Gunter is going to have to be, they're both going to have to step up and somehow shut down this Dallas passing attack. And if Clinton Dix can help stop the run, and they can get some easy stops on third and fourth down the way they did against New York last week, they could win this one. It's just, can they do all that in one game on the road in hostile territory? Maybe. I'm not betting on it, but I really hope they do.
Mm-hmm. So are you calling it for Dallas then, if you had to make a prediction right now?
If I, you know, making it a prediction, you know, you're told never to do it with your heart, so I won't. But, yeah, I'll predict that Dallas wins by 10.
Wins by 10?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right. My official prediction is Green Bay by 4 points. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring, very close game.
I really hope you're right, because I would love to see Green Bay get to the NFC Championship. Rodgers has only been there twice in his career, won once, lost once. He's only been to the Super Bowl once. You know, as much as he's done throughout his career, his postseason track record has not been outstanding. So it'd be nice to see him go on another deep playoff run. I mean, only 3 throughout your whole career, that's not a great career. But if he can start something this year, maybe get past Seattle in the championship, maybe get past a team like New England or Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl, get a second ring, put himself in conversation of one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I would love to see all that. I don't know how much of that's going to happen, but, you know, my heart of hearts is what I want to see. So, well, I guess we'll see what happens Sunday afternoon, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely.
So moving on to the AFC side, because these games are going to determine if Seattle can get to the Super Bowl, who are they going to face? So that starts this weekend. We've got New England hosting Houston, which is a rematch of Week 3. The key here is that Tom Brady didn't play in that game. He was still serving his 4-game suspension. So The scary part is that New England beat them 27-0 in week three with a backup quarterback because Jimmy Garoppolo was out with a shoulder injury. So they're using Jacoby Brissett, who had never played before, rookie out of North Carolina State. So now that you've got Tom Brady back, as good as Houston looked against Oakland last week, how much of a chance do you even give Houston to compete in this game?
Honestly, Brock Osweiler is a good quarterback when he really wants to be a good quarterback. Honestly, I think New England wins by at least two touchdowns.
That's my feeling as well. I mean, with all their firepower they have on offense, even without Gronkowski, I mean, Martellus Bennett, I mean, shoot, how did we not see that coming? Who let that trade happen?
Chicago Bears, apparently.
Yeah.
See what they have.
It's like when Oakland traded Randy Moss to the Patriots and the rest of the NFL didn't throw their hands up and go, no, you can't do that. You can't give Tom Brady these kinds of weapons. It's not fair.
That's not allowed.
No, it shouldn't be. And now you've got a perfect plug-and-play option at tight end, which is going to give Houston fits. They've got a strong enough running game. They've got so many receivers, you know, not exactly household names other than Julian Edelman, but, you know.
He has enough targets that it doesn't really matter if you know their names or not.
He'll find the open man. It doesn't matter what the name on the back of the jersey is. They all get in the end zone somehow.
To them, as long as they have two hands and a brain, they can catch Tom Brady. I mean,
well, and, you know, Josh McDaniels will call the right plays, and he'll put his guys in the right position, and Tom Brady's seen it all, done it all. He's been around for years and years. And, you know, the guy just seems – he's like a fine wine. He just seems to get better with age. No matter how old he gets, he just looks young. He throws the ball really well. There's zip on his passes. And he just – he's so good at dissecting a defense before and after the snap. You know, maybe Peyton Manning was the only one better at it. And Brady hasn't looked any worse for wear based on how old he's getting. I think he's about to be 38 this year. So, you know, as strong of an arm as Brock Osweiler has and as good as Lamar Miller is between the trenches, and, you know, Jadeveon Clowney is a really good pass rusher, but I think they'll scheme away from him. They'll take away DeAndre Hopkins from Houston, and I just don't see Houston. I agree with you. I don't think Houston has a shot in this game.
The only way they do is if, for some reason, New England decides to ignore DeAndre Hopkins, because that's really the main weapon that they have against the Patriots. But if you can neutralize him with double coverage or something like that, then whatever. There's not really anything else he can – I mean, there's not any other workhorse that he can – that they can make work for them at that point.
Right. I mean, even Will Fuller is a great rookie – but he's not the dominant field stretching wide out that DeAndre Hopkins is. And Belichick is so good at taking away your opponent's best weapon that he'll make Osweiler beat him in man-to-man coverage down the sideline, which is what he did in week three, and it didn't work. It didn't work for Osweiler. He had one of his worst games as a professional quarterback. They lost the game, you know, he didn't even put points on the board. And the worst part is Houston only won two games all year on the road. I don't know that they can travel well. They've got all these issues with who should even be the quarterback. Tom Savage was a quarterback 3 weeks ago, ended up getting his bell rung and got a concussion. Now it's Osweiler again. And after Osweiler's hot start last week, they want him to start again this week. But I think that's just their way of saying they don't really believe they can win this one.
And let's not forget that last week was against a Raiders team that was amazing up until Derek Carr broke his arm.
Right. And they were a shell of themselves.
Such a key player.
Right.
There's just no recovery from that. So I don't blame the Raiders at all for losing last week.
No. And they even put up some points to boot. So they made it competitive in the first half.
So I think that's honestly the only reason they even won last week. So let's put a pin in this and save New England by at least two touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Let's move on to a game that's actually worth talking about. So the next one is Kansas City hosting Pittsburgh. So like the other matchups this week, this is a rematch of an early week four game where Pittsburgh beat Kansas City pretty handily, 43-14. The difference being that was in Pittsburgh. Now, Kansas City is 6-2 at home, but Pittsburgh is 5-3, so there's some potential there for Pittsburgh to pull off an upset. How confident are you in the Pittsburgh Steelers going into Arrowhead Stadium and winning a football game in the postseason?
Well, the Steelers haven't done that yet. They've only Pittsburgh and Kansas City have only played once in their entire history in the postseason, and Kansas City won that game. That was in like 93, I think. It's been a long time.
Right.
And it was well before anyone on either roster was a part of the organization. So, but I think the home field advantage for Kansas City is kind of like what it is for Seattle. They win a lot more in Arrowhead Stadium than they win elsewhere.
Yeah, they get loud there. They're probably the only team that can compete with Seattle in terms of decibel levels by the crowd.
The only reason why I'm hesitating at all is because you have the trifecta of the Steelers. You have Roethlisberger, you have Le'Veon Bell, and you have Antonio Brown.
Right.
And against Alex Smith, I mean, he's got some targets. Travis Kelce comes to mind. But
you got Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Jeremy Maclin, Chris Conley. I mean, they've got some weapons there. And even their running backs, Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West, are serviceable. They're not great, but they can get the job done.
Yeah. So I think they've got enough weapons to make it happen. I think that they have a home field advantage, which is a big deal. But I'm really hesitant to bet against the Pittsburgh trifecta.
Right.
At the same time, the other part of this is that Roethlisberger hurt his foot in the game he just played.
And they haven't really been talking about that. They've addressed it, but they haven't really addressed the severity of the injury. It sounds like it's just an ankle that got rolled or sprained, and that he'll be fine. They'll tape it up, and he'll just be a little less mobile than usual. But with Kansas City's pass rush, I don't know if that's going to work if you can't count on Ben Roethlisberger to extend plays with his legs.
The other issue is in, I think it was week two, ironically also playing against Miami, Seattle had something very similar happen to Russell Wilson. They rolled over his ankle, got hurt, and then he was screwed for the next 4 weeks. He wasn't himself until much later in the season.
Right.
So. And he's a younger quarterback. He heals a little faster than Big Ben. So, I don't know. The other thing is Roethlisberger is going to play through whatever injury he has. The only thing that would prevent him is if a doctor literally says you can't play.
Which they probably won't do. Pittsburgh's known for throwing their best guys on the field, even if it means getting hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think he's going to play no matter what. How he plays is going to be affected by it, I think. So, this is honestly the hardest one that I had a time trying to come up with a pick for.
I think this one, Kansas City's got the dominant offense, they've got the dominant defense, they're dominant on special teams, but they have to resort to so many gadget plays on offense. I'm not sure they'll be able to keep up with Pittsburgh's high-flying aerial attack. I mean, yeah, Antonio Brown is phenomenal. Le'Veon Bell is, you know, let's just call him the best running back in football because that's what he is. And then you got Roethlisberger, who, even when he's hurt, is still a dual threat because he's so hard to take down. Just because you get in penetration in the pocket doesn't mean you're going to take him down and get a sack. So he can extend plays with his legs even when he's not mobile. So then you've got Antonio Brown. You have Jesse James. You have Ladarius Green. You have Eli Rogers, Sammy Coates. I mean, it seems like they have an endless list of weapons to throw the ball to. And the funny thing is that this is still a team that's lost Martavius Bryant for the year to a suspension. Imagine how good their aerial attack could be if they had him. I mean, he's 6'3" and 200 pounds, just smokes down the sideline. I can't believe how good this Pittsburgh team is, and they're still missing one of their best playmakers. But Antonio Brown is probably the best receiver in football in terms of production and athletic ability. And you got Le'Veon Bell, who's absolutely the best running back in football when he's healthy. And then you got Roethlisberger, who's a top five quarterback. I guess when you look at that, Kansas City, you know, on paper at least, doesn't quite stack up, even with the home field advantage.
Because you have arguably one of the three loudest stadiums in the NFL. And you have there's no way that it's not going to be completely packed with super, super loud people. Like, right. It's going to be very difficult for Roethlisberger to be able to call plays, let alone be able to execute them with a hurt foot. So that's part of why I had such a hard time calling this, simply because I can't quantify that home field advantage.
Right.
I think I would call it for Pittsburgh probably, like, close enough that they might even go to OT.
Well, I guess it's gut check time. So if the numbers don't help and the previous matchups don't help, gut reaction, who do you like in this game?
Gut reaction, I never want to bet against the Steelers. I have a long memory as a Seahawks fan.
Sure.
I never want to bet against the Steelers when it comes down to their production.
They find ways to win.
Huh?
They just find ways to win.
They do. So that's my gut. I think Pittsburgh is going to win. I have no idea what the spread would be. I have a feeling it's going to be close.
Well, I mean, these teams are such – it seems like it's going to be a great matchup. I think Kansas City is going to win, but I couldn't tell you why. I think that they're going to come in – you know, they haven't had a great showing in the postseason in the time Andy Reid and Alex Smith have been there. This is their first chance to really shut somebody down, and I think that they're going to be watching film of that Week 4 matchup and seeing what they can do to take down Pittsburgh. And I think the home field advantage will play a role. I don't know if it'll be as loud or as hectic as they would like because, you know, Roethlisberger's been around for a long time, getting drafted in 2004. You know, it's 13 years in the league. He's had plenty of time to see and react to just about anything we can think of. So, you know, for a guy who took down Tom Brady's rookie year, he took down Peyton Manning the following year, won a Super Bowl in his second year, won another Super Bowl 4 years in, competed in another Super Bowl 6 years in. You know, I don't have anything on paper to show you why he's going to lose. I just feel like Kansas City is going to be up for this game and want to prove a point, and I don't know that Pittsburgh is going to be able to compete, especially if Roethlisberger can't move.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out in the first quarter how mobile Roethlisberger is and how much of a problem his foot's going to be. And until he starts playing, it's going to be hard to tell.
Well, the really interesting part is that even last week against Miami, when he was so great in the first quarter with Brown scoring touchdowns at will, it seemed like, and getting open at will, Roethlisberger still only completed, I want to say, 13 passes and threw two interceptions. You know, one of them was tipped, the other one was right to a guy. But, you know, Marcus Peters and Eric Berry are nothing to stick your nose up at. They're two of the best defensive backs in the league. Berry is probably the best safety in the league next to Chancellor and Thomas. And then you have Marcus Peters, who I actually really thought the Seahawks would draft a couple years ago. And I was actually disappointed they didn't, because I can only imagine how good that Legion of Boom would be with him in it. But he's definitely one of the most talented corners in the league, and they're going to put him on Antonio Brown and see if he can stick with him. And if he can, it could be a long day, because that pass rush is going to get to Roethlisberger, and maybe they won't slow him down, but they'll force him into some erratic throws.
Yeah, he'll need to throw it away a few times. Hopefully for him, he doesn't actually legitimately get sacked. But, yeah, I have a feeling he's going to need to throw it away more than a few times.
The other thing to consider, so I just looked up the weather for that game. It's supposed to be in the low 30s and freezing rain.
Oof.
So this may be a very slick field they're playing on. So it might be tough to run, might be tough to tackle. I don't know how well anybody can throw in that kind of condition, so this could be a real sloppy, blunder bowl kind of situation.
And what that makes his foot injury even more of a liability.
Yeah, if he's out there on skates on an ice rink, I don't know if that's going to fly. And Landry Jones is a quality quarterback, but he's not Ben Roethlisberger, so I don't know that he can step in and take over for him.
He's serviceable. If they have a big lead, then they might take Roethlisberger out in the fourth quarter.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to have a big lead. I think it's going to be a really close game. I know I've said that about just about every game we've talked about, but that's kind of what happens in the postseason.
Right.
There's always, you know, two or three games that are going to be really, really close, and then one that you're like, that's pretty much a shoo-in.
Well, you know, the cream rises to the crop in the NFL, and I think this is where we're seeing these teams don't have much difference between them in terms of talent and athletic ability and, you know, coaches and scheming and strategies. So when you get down to it, it's just, you know, who can actually win the tight game against elite competition that's as good or better than they are. And that's where you really see the best of the best show off their best stuff. And I think that's what we're going to see this Saturday and Sunday. We didn't really see that last week. I think we're going to see it this week. And regardless of who wins, it's going to be a heck of a championship Saturday and Sunday next weekend.
Absolutely.
So just to recap, we've discussed Seattle and Atlanta, and we think we're going to see a Seattle victory there.
Very close game, but yeah, I think we're going to pull it out.
Right, and then so they'll move on to championship Saturday, and then we're going to see Green Bay and Dallas, and we've got a split decision there. You're expecting a close win by Green Bay. I'm expecting a little bit of a wider victory by Dallas, but I'm hoping you're right on that one. And then we've got New England beating Houston without even really trying. And then we've got Kansas City beating Pittsburgh from my point of view. And you've got Pittsburgh winning, but neither of us can really prove or say why, which is kind of makes it fun.
It's pretty much just a gut check at this point. Yeah. Honestly, you can flip a coin with that game.
Right. Well, you know, maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll do the coin toss and, you know, whoever calls heads, well, you're on to the next round. Have a nice Sunday. Well, and I guess
postseason games can't end in a tie, though, right? So there's no way that they can go to the end of OT and just stop.
They not only can't end in a tie, but the overtime rules are a little bit different in the postseason. So it's always fun when a couple teams actually get to the overtime period in the postseason. It used to be the same as regular season, but they decided to change it. So it will be nice to see. I don't know if anybody's going to want to play in freezing rain, 30-degree temperatures in an overtime period, but... You know, worst things have happened.
Is that the evening game?
Let's see.
Because it's the evening game, it's gonna be a rough time because it's gonna start getting colder. It's not gonna just be slick. It's gonna start freezing.
Let's see. So they play Sunday at 10 a.m.
Oh, okay. So midday. That's not too bad.
So it'll be, in Kansas City, it'll be a couple hours ahead of here. So, but, you know, that's going to be when the peak of the temperature is. So if it's only supposed to be 33, the temperature could start dropping before the game's even over. And if they're already dealing with freezing rain, they're not going to have any of that rain melting. No matter how hot and heated the matchup gets, it's going to get colder and colder on the frozen tundra.
So that means that New England's game starts in the evening.
Correct.
So that's going to be a fun time for Houston to play against them.
Well, they play Saturday afternoon, and then Seattle's the evening game on Saturday, and then Sunday we've got Kansas City hosting Pittsburgh in the morning, and then Green Bay and Dallas at 1 o'clock, or whenever the Kansas City game ends. They always end.
Oh, so both of the NFC games are in the evening this time.
Correct.
Okay.
So we'll we'll have to see how those go, and we'll have to do a recap next week and see how we did.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my producer/intern Gene is flagging me for going over time limits, so we're gonna have to break for Masterpiece Theater. So thanks for calling in, Leo. It's been great talking to you. You seem like you've got a great head on your shoulders, especially sports. Again, all the best to you and the missus. Hope you guys make it down there in LA, and we'll have to talk next week and see how we did on our picks and maybe make some championship picks to go with it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much, and hope all of you listeners out there have enjoyed the first episode of Armchair Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt, signing off, and we'll see you next time.